Oh, where is this radio program for seniors? I can't find it. Errol, what's this radio thing called that we're looking for seniors?
Oh, I don't know, Arthur. Isn't it wireless something or something wireless? You should have written it down when I told you to.
Hang on. I think this might be it.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Found it.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Coda, a weekly podcast radio show for older Queenslanders, proudly brought to you by the Council on the Ageing Queensland. I'm your host Andy Neal, and as always, it's great to have your company. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and let's see what we've got in store for you on the show this week.
Founded in 1957, Council on the Ageing, CODA Queensland, is a not-for-profit organisation advancing the rights, needs and futures of people as we age. Working in partnership with the Queensland Government, local councils, community organisations and the community to create an age-friendly Queensland. To join or to find out more, visit cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348.
Welcome back and thank you for joining us for part three, the final part of our special Radio Coda series on human rights. Our special guest this week is Alastair McEwan. Alastair has been Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner since July 2016. Alastair's education background is in arts, law and business administration. In previous roles, he was the Executive Director of Community Legal Centres New South Wales, the CEO of People with Disability Australia, and manager of the Australian Centre for Disability Law. Alastair spent 5 years as the president of the Deaf Society of New South Wales, and from late 2015 to mid-2016, he was also the chairperson of the Disability Council of New South Wales. He was chairperson of Australian Theatre of the Deaf and coordinator of the World Federation of the Deaf Expert Group on Human Rights. It's our pleasure today to introduce you to Alastair McEwan. Good morning and welcome to Radio Coda, Alastair.
Thank you so much, Andy and Angela, for having me. I'm delighted to be talking with you today.
Alastair, a few things we'd love to chat with you about. What I might do is fire over to Ange. I know she's got some questions for you and we'll just roll along with it from there.
Absolutely, and I look forward to having this conversation.
Alastair, what our listeners would love to hear is what your role is, the importance of your role, and how you actually got into this position of the Disability Discrimination Commissioner.
Well, my role is as Australia's Disability Discrimination Commissioner is to ensure that I promote and protect the human rights of all people with disability in Australia. And I was appointed mid last year, July, and the appointment came about through a transparent and open recruitment process. And at the end, I was appointed by the government of the day as the independent Disability Discrimination Commissioner. And what that means is that I'm independent of government. Mm-hmm. So my role is to ensure that the government does not engage in acts of discrimination or breaches of human rights of people with disability.
Right.
That's a pretty serious position to have.
Oh, yes, I have to say, I mean, I feel a great responsibility because there are 4.3 million people with disability in Australia. So I feel a great responsibility to ensure that each and every one of those people does not experience discrimination, or they should be able to live a life free of discrimination and just like anyone else in the community.
Mm.
And I guess you'd have a few challenges in relation to the NDIS at the moment as well. How do you think the NDIS is rolling in regards to human rights and people with disability? Do you think they're heading in the right direction?
I'm delighted to see the NDIS has been implemented, and I commend the government for its implementation. I do think, however, there will be a range of challenges, and I'm hearing a lot about the NDIS, as you can imagine. Every day, people tell me about their experiences, and I've been hearing things around people are still confused about the NDIS and what it might mean for them personally and for their family and friends. I'm also hearing that many people are not aware of the NDIS, in particular, those people or groups of people in the community who are really vulnerable and not able to access information in the same way that others can.
Right.
And I'm also hearing a lot of challenges in rural and remote areas where a person might be able to get an NDIS package, however, they may not be able to get the services that they need.
We've actually heard a lot about that as well, and I know transport's been a huge issue in relation to the NDIS, but I do believe they're working on it. I think there's probably a little bit of upheaval with a number of changes to the management of the NDIS, so I'm sure that there's a few challenges ahead, but I, for one, am quite positive about the NDIS, and of course with any new system there will be glitches, but hopefully we can all work together to make it all work well for people with disability nationally.
You are absolutely right, Angela. It's important to remember, why do we have the NDIS in the first place? It is a recognition that people with disability need to have support to be able to live independently in the community or where they choose to live with their family and friends. So you're right in terms of transport. So they need to be able to get to visit their friends. They need to be able to get to work. And also housing. Housing is an integral issue in the sense that we need to have accessible housing, and the NDIS should be playing a role in that.
Absolutely.
Nobody can predict the future. Planning ahead can bring peace of mind to you, your family, and your friends. Planning ahead can help you feel more confident that your financial, health, and personal wishes will be respected and followed if you are unable to act yourself. COTA Queensland have developed information sessions about planning ahead and how to identify key people in your life who know and respect you, and should they be required, will act on your wishes. COTA Queensland is offering these free sessions to discuss the importance of enduring powers of attorney. Trained peer educators will meet with your seniors group to provide information, resources, and ideas to assist people to think about this topic and to start taking action now. Sessions are delivered in a user-friendly way by older Queenslanders who are trained in the topic, and they volunteer their time and their skills. These one-hour sessions are free, interactive, and available until May 2018 in various locations throughout Queensland. If you're part of a seniors group and think this session would benefit your members, contact bookings@cotaqueensland.org.au or phone 1300 738 348 for more information or to make a booking. A COTA Queensland team member will then contact you to arrange a peer educator and confirm the booking. This project is funded by the Queensland Government, Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services, with the support of the Public Trustee.
What are we listening to?
Radio CODA.
Now, Alistair, I'd like to ask you about the findings of the National Consultation, Shaping Our Future, the discussion on disability rights. How did that come about and what were the findings?
Well, I have to say that the most important thing about this consultation was I felt it was important that given that there had not been a full-time disability discrimination commissioner for just over 2 years, that I check in with the disability community and make sure that the things that I work on reflect what they see are the most critical and important issues.
Right.
So I went all around Australia. I visited every capital city. And I also visited a few regional areas, and I met well over 1,000 people and organisations, and I had a lot of very good and frank and robust discussion. And arising out of that was a confirmation of my 5 suggested priorities, and they are employment, education, implementation of the NDIS, criminal justice system, and housing. And then another issue that arose consistently in the consultation was the issue of violence against people with disabilities. So I now have six priority areas that will form the basis of my work into the future.
Wonderful. Alistair, I have another little question for you, and it's nothing that should throw you too much. There have been suggestions that there will be an investigation into abuse of people with disability. Is that actually going to go ahead? Because it's kind of all up in the air at the moment. And from a person who's worked in the disability sector for close to 30 years, it's something that I believe needs to be done. And I have seen and reported a number of abuse cases to the departments. However, the organisations are still running and there doesn't seem to be a lot happening. So is there going to be a really strong investigation into the abuse of people with disability?
And you are absolutely right in that this is an issue that has been going on for a very long time. It is an issue where we know that there has to be real action and real change. We are hearing every day of horrific incidents of abuse and violence against people with disabilities, and we need to see service providers held to account, as well as we need to see people with disabilities having their voices well and truly heard. Mm. And I don't just mean from making that initial complaint or initial report, but then having that report taken seriously by everybody, including the police and other service providers. So you've touched upon a very critical issue, and I think it is time for the government to start acting on the recommendations that we saw from the 2015 Commonwealth Senate inquiry into this very issue. Mm. We know what the issues are. We now need to see the government start to implement the recommendations, and I'm here to work with them and the community on that.
Well, Alistair, if you're looking for somebody to work with you on that, I'd put my hand up in a heartbeat. It's something that I'm really, really passionate about. And from my own experiences from the reporting processes, in one particular situation, it took the state government 18 months to actually act on it. And in that time, there were a number of neglect and abuse allegations that were raised. And the organisation is still funded. It's just too prevalent in our community.
Thank you, Angela. You know what? You've raised also the fact that people with disabilities, when they make a complaint or make a report, we are seeing so often that they are ignored or the report gets lost into bureaucracy, and often it takes, as you've identified, months, even years for this to be redressed with no real systemic change. Mm-hmm. So it is a very important issue and we certainly need to see concrete action. And thank you very much for your offer, and I hope that we can work constructively on this.
Radio Coda has been created for you, our listeners. Email us at radiocota@cotaqld.org.au to give us your feedback, offer topic suggestions, share your stories, and let us know what interests you. Radio Coda is funded by the Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services in Queensland. Send us a line. We would love to hear from you.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Alistair, if I may, just changing the subject marginally for a moment. We had the pleasure a couple of weeks ago of speaking with Graham Innes, a previous Australian commissioner, and with respect to Graham's visual impairment, we put to him the question of what the technology was that he was using to enable us to have that conversation with him, which was very interesting for us and for our listeners as well. Would you mind if I perhaps steered the same question at yourself? You live with a hearing impairment. If you could express to us what sort of technology you're using and the tools that you use to help you to have the conversation we're having today.
Andy, I'm absolutely happy to talk about the kind of technology that I use in my professional and personal life, because I think it's important that people hear about what technology is available and how it can help them interact with, you know, society in a better way.
Absolutely.
I'm delighted that you've spoken with Graham, and Graham, as you might know, is a great fan of technology, as I am, and I've seen what Graham can use in his life to ensure that he can, you know, get out and about and interact with society. What do I use? Well, I use a variety of things. I use technology such as Skype If I can't find an interpreter in Sydney, I'm based in Sydney, if I can't find an interpreter who can come into my office for a meeting, I use Skype to call an interpreter who might be based, they could be based in Broken Hill, they could be based in Perth. So that's one form of technology that I use, Skype on my iPad, for example, or even my iPhone if necessary. I also use my iPhone and I use countless numbers of apps. So, you know, to find out when the next train is coming, to check in online for a flight. And I must say, Uber, for example, does not require a deaf person to have to communicate in a spoken language with the driver.
Okay.
It can all be done on your app. So that's a great example.
It is. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. As much as it is of intrigue, I guess, for all of us, certainly for people that are living with a similar disability, for a lot, they're not aware of the technology that's available. And it's great for someone like you to share what you use to help them to see a better way forward for them.
And can I also make the comment that, yes, technology is an incredibly powerful enabler and ensuring that many people with disabilities who might be experiencing some form of discrimination can use technologies to overcome that. I do, however, have to say I am concerned, and I see this often, is that a new form of technology or a new form of software will come on to the market or be made available to people, and it is not accessible. People who are blind, it's not accessible to people perhaps with cognitive or intellectual disabilities who need something in an easy-to-read format. So that's another big challenge. We need to ensure that those who develop, those who create those technologies are aware of the importance of making it literally accessible to all.
Absolutely agreed, yes.
Alistair, we're going to have to wind up because I know that you've got things to do. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat with us today. It sounds like we have the best person for the job, looking after the disability discrimination area and human rights of people with disability. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you so much, both of you. I've really enjoyed this conversation. My last comment would be, my job can only be best done if it reflects the needs and wishes of the disability community. So I'm always open to feedback and to hearing from people about the issues that matter most to them. Thank you again and have a good afternoon.
And you too.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
You're listening to Radio Kota.
You know, Arthur, this weather's been so hot, I reckon our electricity bill's going to go through the roof, and we haven't even been using our air conditioner this summer. Every time the power bill comes in, I feel like it's been written in another language. It's just so hard to understand. Prices are forever changing and those tariff thingies are so confusing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. My old mate Bert was saying there were changes made in the electricity market last year, which means electricity retailers can charge us whatever they want. Bert said it also means now that we can shop around for a better deal.
Be that as it may, Arthur, it's all too confusing, and I just don't have the time to be chasing around trying to sort it all out.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Beryl. Have you heard about the Switched On Seniors?
No, I haven't. Switched On Seniors? Sounds like some kind of head-banging rock band.
Ah, you're a funny old bird you are, Beryl. No, it's a free information session that's being offered to seniors groups, and it helps explain all the electricity changes.
Well, that certainly sounds like a good idea, Arthur. Do you think they'd do one of those information sessions where our seniors group usually meets?
Well, that's the great part. You know that Radio Kota podcast thingy we listen to each week? Well, apparently the Kota Queensland people have what they call peer educators, and they travel all over southeast Queensland visiting seniors groups just like ours.
Well, that certainly makes it a lot easier. Let's sign up for that then.
I totally agree with you, my darling. So can you get on to organising that, please? I'm just a wee bit busy at the moment.
Busy? You're sprawled out in that old armchair of yours watching the cricket. Don't put your feet on the coffee table. You must have been born in a shed.
Opportunities are limited, so book early to secure a session for your seniors group or organisation. Visit www.cotaqld.org.au to obtain a booking form or email bookings@cotaqld.org.au. Here on Radio Kota, it's time for the news.
News time, Ange, and I've got to tell you, it's about time. I haven't had the pleasure of your company in the flesh, so to speak, here for a couple of weeks. We've had to do our news via telephone due to trips here and there and everywhere. And
yes, been a bit of a happy traveller.
You have indeed, so it's great to have you back.
I'm glad to be back, although Cairns was fantastic.
I'll bet. This time of year, beautiful.
Oh, I love going to Cairns.
Yeah.
People are great.
Yeah, I must come with you next time.
Well, you should.
Do an OB from Cairns.
That would be cool.
Mm.
Lock it in, Eddie.
Fantastic. So, Andrew, we've been talking today with Alastair McEwen. That was great. And talking about human rights and talking about the Disability Discrimination Act, what exactly is it?
It's huge. Around 1 in 5 Australians has a disability. However, many face significant barriers when it comes to work, study, sport, getting around, and simply taking part in everyday activities.
Mm.
The Disability Discrimination Act 1992 protects individuals across Australia from unfair treatment in many parts of public life. The Act makes disability discrimination unlawful and promotes equal rights, equal opportunity, and equal access for people with disabilities. The Commission also has responsibilities to promote the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which Australia ratified in 2008. People who experience direct or indirect discrimination can complain to the Commission. The Commission works in partnership with others to help individuals and organisations around the country understand their rights and meet their legal responsibilities. To do this, they conduct research and public inquiries, facilitate industry-wide reforms through disability standards and guidelines, assist organisations to develop disability action plans, and run community education programs.
Mm-hmm.
They also assess applications for temporary exemptions under the Act and provide advice on laws, policies, and programs that affect people with disability. The Disability Discrimination Commissioner, Mr. Alastair McEwen, leads this work. This information has been taken from www.humanrights.gov.au.
You know, I'm not a real fan of the word complain because it sounds so negative. But when you look at it, the positive side of what a wonderful process it now is, it gives people that opportunity to be able to provide feedback and to raise awareness of things that aren't quite right. So rather than seeing it as a complaint, I see it as a really, really positive thing.
Well, they get the opportunity to have their voice heard, and that's really important. As long as people follow through with the complaints and that there's a positive resolution at the end of it.
Absolutely. And recently, the Shaping Our Future National Consultation, there were discussions on disability rights. What were the findings of that, Ange?
Well, on the 6th of April, Australian Disability Discrimination Commissioner Alastair McEwen released the findings of the National Consultation Shaping Our Future Discussions on Disability Rights. Between October 2016 and March this year, Commissioner McEwen and his team conducted national consultations to help guide his priorities and seek input from the disability community on how he can most effectively work to advance the rights of people with disability. Mr. McEwen met with over 1,000 people in capital cities and regional centres across Australia and received 85 written submissions. The collections of stories, videos and infographics summarise what the team heard during the national consultations with people with disability and their representative organisations, families and communities. All of the videos are spoken and in Auslan, the language of the deaf community in Australia. Through this consultation, the priorities identified were employment, education, housing, the criminal justice system, implementation of the National Disability Insurance Scheme and violence. For further information and to view the collection of stories and videos, visit www.humanrights.gov.au/news/stories.
Good stuff. And Ange, excuse me.
Oh, bless your little heart.
Sorry about that. I was trying to say it's coming into flu season.
It sounds like you might be getting the flu, Andy.
Yeah, so you got some good news for the over 65s.
I do. It's that time of the year when coughing, sneezing, fever, headaches, muscle aches and pains and everything else that goes along with having the flu hits us. influenza or the flu can have severe consequences including pneumonia, bronchitis, chest and sinus infections, heart, blood system or liver complications, which can lead to hospitalisation and even death. But there is some good news for anyone aged over 65. The 2007 National Immunisation Program seasonal influenza or flu vaccines are being distributed around the country, and the vaccination is free under this program. I know, right? You don't get anything for free these days.
Not anymore.
However, this is free under the program for anyone aged 65 years and over. More information about vaccinations for older Australians is available on the Immunise Australia website, www.immunise.health.gov.au.
Take advantage of it while you can. You know, a doctor once said to me, if you've got a cold or a flu, if you take all the appropriate medications and so on, you can usually clear it in about 2 weeks. But if you don't take any of them, it'll probably take a fortnight.
Makes sense when
Something
you say it out
in
loud.
For all of us.
There is. I tell you, you listen to Radio Coda and you're just educated every day.
Whether that be a good thing or not remains to be seen. Ange, Older People Speak Out Media Awards. What's that all about?
Well, Older People Speak Out, or OPSO, is an all-volunteer group of retired and semi-retired professionals who advocate on behalf of Australian seniors aged over 50. Because they are funded through sponsorship, they are able to speak out without fear or favour, and they talk with all sides of politics.
No holds barred, eh?
That's right. OPSO work with the media to promote positive ageing and break down negative stereotypes of older people. Through their media awards, they recognise those who publish positive content about seniors and the issues faced. Nominations for the annual Older People Speak Out Media Awards are now open. You can nominate media items featuring positive coverage of seniors published or broadcast between the 3rd of October 2016 and the 26th of September 2017. Mm-hmm. For more information or to submit a nomination, visit the OPSO website at www.opso.com.au.
That's a great thing.
I'm just wondering who's going to nominate Radio Coda.
I don't know, but I'm sure that we'd very humbly accept a nomination, wouldn't
that
we?
Would be lovely. Might have to do it myself.
Yeah, use another name.
Yeah.
No one will know.
That's right.
Queensland Community Care, Ange, we have an update.
Yeah. Coda Queensland is actually part of the Queensland Community Care Working Group, so this is hot off the press, people. The Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services is reviewing the Queensland Community Care Services due to the National Disability Insurance Scheme and other reforms changing the social services sector. As people with disability transition to the NDIS, the profile of people who receive Queensland Community Care Services will change. The QCC review is part of the government's commitment to support existing service users and to focus future QCC funding and services where they are needed most. The review will focus on improvements identified by data and the views of service users, their families and carers, service providers and other interested stakeholders. To access further information or for updates on the Queensland Community Care Review, please visit www.qld.gov.au. We're anticipating around half the people that currently receive community care funding will transition to the NDIS, so there's a lot of changes ahead.
There certainly are.
Positive changes.
Well, stay tuned, folks, because you'll hear about it here first.
Oh, hot off the press we are.
With our NDIS guru, Ange, on board.
Loving it. I love my job.
Me too. Me too.
And that's it for this week, Mr. Neil.
That is it. Did you like my fake sneeze?
Yeah, it was all right.
It's not an easy thing to fake well, but anyway. I did my best.
Yeah, lots of things are hard to fake, Andy.
I've heard that. You have You have a wonderful week, Ange.
Thank you very much. You too.
Am I going to get to see you next week?
Absolutely, with bells on.
Fantastic. I'll look forward to that.
Cheers, Andy.
Bye.
Radio Coda is produced by Riversong Productions for the Council on the Aging Queensland.
You're listening to Radio Coda.